Well, hallelujah. We are so glad you have joined us for this week's teaching. You know, his word tells us great shalom have those who love his Torah, and nothing will cause them to stumble. This week, we're going to be on part four of the faith of Abraham. And so far, we have discussed in our first week, we talked about how the faith of Abraham caused Abraham to obey God. When God had called Abraham to leave the land of his fathers, he left the land of his fathers and went and lived in a strange land as a stranger. And because he believed what God was telling him, he obeyed God's voice. We also talked about in that teaching how scripture describes that Abraham was a person who followed the laws of God, his instructions, and walked in his ways. So when we are becoming people of belief and we are to be the children of Abraham, he is the example of our faith. We have been called to live by the same faith that Abraham had. And so we have been called to live as a stranger in the land where we are currently, and we're looking forward to a promise that has been given unto us, just as a promise was given unto Abraham. He could not see that promise yet, but he believed in that promise. He believed what God was telling him, and so he obeyed what God told him. So we have been called to obey him in this land where we live as an alien, as a stranger, looking forward to that price, to that promise that is ahead of us. And in week two, we talked about how we are to bear fruits of repentance and how John the Baptist spoke about those who bear the fruits of repentance are the children of Abraham. So we are to bear fruits of repentance. We are to be living a lifestyle where we're turning away from those things which are not lined up with his righteousness, and embracing his ways and walking in his ways. And so we are continually going through that process of being conformed into the image of Yeshua and no longer being conformed into the image of this world. That's what it means to be a child of Abraham. And the third thing we talked about is how Abraham was tested. You could say his faith and God was tested. You could also say that God tested the heart of Abraham. He tested Abraham when it came to his son Isaac, which represented the promise that God had given unto Abraham. So we can know that he is watching us and he is looking to see if we're going to be a people who are going to listen and obey him and trust him, even when it seems like we may be laying down the very thing that we have been believing for and hoping for all along. And when Abraham believed God and he obeyed what God was telling him to do, God's response back to Abraham was, "Now I know that you fear me." And so what I want to get into here in week four is, as we see the faith that Abraham had as he went through these things, God was watching Abraham. He saw what Abraham was doing. And because of that, Abraham had a very special relationship with God. And we're going to read here in the scripture where the scripture talks about the fact that Abraham was a friend of God. So let's go ahead and read that here in James chapter 2 and verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." So here, James is telling us that Abraham was called the friend of God. And it says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness. When we look unto Abraham as the example of our faith, what it teaches us is that we are to believe God just as Abraham believed God. And when we possess that same faith that Abraham had, where we believe God, a belief that causes us to obey the instructions and the commandments that God is giving us, to trust him, to be willing to do whatever he tells us to do, even though it may mean us laying down the very thing that may be most precious unto us, as Abraham was willing to sacrifice Isaac as he was being instructed to do. So because of this belief that Abraham had, he was a friend of God. So as we learn to walk in the same faith where we have this belief in God, and because we believe in him, we obey him and we follow his instructions, we can be called a friend of God just as Abraham was. So now let's go ahead and look at John chapter 15 and verse 14. This is Yeshua speaking. "You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." So Yeshua speaking on this is telling us that I no longer call you a slave, but I call you friend. Now, this interesting here because Yeshua is still our master. We are still called to serve him and obey him. But in our serving him and in our obeying him, we are serving a master who turns around and says, even though you're serving me and you're doing and you're following my commands and my ways and being obedient to what I am telling you to do, I do not call you a slave, though. I call you a friend. He says, because a slave does not know what his master is doing. So what he is telling us here is, I am calling you a friend because you know what I'm doing. And the idea is that you are to know what I'm doing. His desire and the desire of God and for Yahweh is not for us to be in the dark about what he is doing. His desire is for us to have that close, intimate relationship with us where he calls us friend. We call him master, but he calls us friend. And he tells us what he is doing. We can know what he is up to, what his plans are, and what is going around. We are able to walk in the light in the darkness that is going on around us. We do not have to walk in confusion and guessing and trying to figure out what is going on, but we can walk around as one who you could say has the answers. Now, what's very interesting is in the very first verse that we read, the verse prior to him saying that I no longer call you a slave, but I call you a friend, Yeshua says, you are my friends if you do what I command you. So Yeshua puts an if on this matter of us being called his friend. So the ones that he's going to call his friends are those that are doing what he has commanded us to do. And we have been commanded to love God with all of our heart and to love our neighbors, to love people. Now, the Torah goes into detail and explains unto us and teaches us and gives instructions on how we are to love God and how we are to love people. So when we follow his commands and we're being obedient to the Torah, to the law which was given unto Moses, we are walking in his commands. We are doing what Yeshua has told us to do. We are loving God and we are loving people. The motive and the heart behind everything we do when we go to follow his commandments is out of love. Our obedience is never out of trying to earn a justification, out of trying to earn a reward. Our obedience is in us showing him that we love him and that we believe in him. Our obedience actually flows from our faith. If we have a true faith in him and if we believe in him, then we will believe his words. We will believe that his way is the better way. So we will walk in his ways. And when we do that, we become his friend. You know, scripture also tells us that if you become a friend of the world, now you are an enemy of God. So we have to stop and think about this idea here. You are either a friend of God or you are a friend of the world. And how can you know which one you are a friend of? You know, scripture also talks about and states that you're serving one or two masters. You're either serving your flesh, you're serving sin and death, or you're serving righteousness. And the scripture tells us you are a servant to the one whom you obey. So this is the scripture showing us that we are still a servant unto him. Okay, but yet he calls us friends. So who are you serving is the one you're obeying. So if you're obeying your flesh, if you're seeking to be conformed unto this world and to fit in with this world, and you're allowing this world to shape the way your mind thinks and what you desire for and what you're going after, then you're serving sin. You're serving death. But if your heart's desire is to walk in his commandments and to walk in obedience unto him, and you are being obedient unto him, then you became a servant unto righteousness. So the same thing comes into play here when we talk about who are you a friend with? Are you a friend with the world? Or are you a friend of God? Seeking conformity unto this world makes you a friend of this world. When you walk in obedience to God's word and you walk in his ways, then you are set apart from this world. You are going to think differently. You're going to desire things differently to them. And you are doing and acting contrary to them. And this actually makes you an enemy of the world. So being a friend of God puts you at war with the world, but being a friend with the world puts you at war with God. There is no middle ground in this. We can't be a friend of both the world and of God. So the question we have to ask ourselves and examine of ourselves is, who are we friends with? Are we friends with the world? Or are we friends with God? And we can determine that, and we can see that by how we are acting, by what our fruit is bearing. Are we bearing fruits of his righteousness, of obedience unto his word, or are we bearing fruits of conformity unto this world? But unto those who have the courage and the strength to stand against this world, and to serve Yeshua and to serve Yahweh and to walk in obedience to his commands, to those they are called the friends of God, and unto those they will know what God is doing. And I want to look at an example of this with Abraham in Genesis chapter 18 and verse 16. Then the men rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. Now Yahweh said, "Shall I conceal from Abraham what I am about to do? Since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed, for I have known him, so that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of Yahweh to do righteousness and justice, so that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him." So this is a passage where Abraham has fed the two men who had come and met with him while he was sitting underneath the tree. And after their meeting is done, they go to leave, and Abraham is walking with them as they leave. And that's when Yahweh asked the question, "Should I conceal what I'm about to do from Abraham?" Now, Abraham was a friend of God, and we see the example of that right here, because Yahweh is going to reveal unto Abraham what he is doing. And basically the question is, should I conceal? Should I hide what I am doing from a righteous man? When you think about what he is saying in verse 19, "For this is a man that I know will command his children and his household to walk in my ways. And I know that he walks in my ways. And because he is a righteous man, is it right for me to conceal what I'm doing?" We're seeing here in the verse that Abraham is a friend of God, and because he is a righteous man who is teaching his household according to Yahweh's righteousness and to follow his commands, that Yahweh is going to go ahead and he is going to reveal unto Abraham what he is going to do. And I believe there is a purpose behind why Yahweh reveals what he is going to do. He's not just giving Abraham information for Abraham to have information. He is not trying to stroke the ego of Abraham, but there is a purpose. And because he knows that Abraham is righteous, he knows that he can give him this information and that Abraham is going to respond in righteousness. And that's a very big thing on why he is friends with those who are righteous, why he is sharing what he is doing with those who are righteous, because he knows they are going to respond in a righteous manner. Because you can respond in a righteous manner and you can respond in a unrighteous manner when it comes to him revealing unto you what are his plans and what he is up to in the earth today. So now let's look at verse 20. So Yahweh said, "The outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. I will go down now and see whether they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me. And if not, I will know." Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom, while Abraham was still standing before Yahweh. Then Abraham came near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city, will you indeed sweep it away and not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it?" So we see here in this passage, the men, as they're leaving Abraham, they are actually on their way to Sodom and Gomorrah. And that's when Yahweh steps in and says, "Should I reveal what I'm doing? Where these two men are headed now and why they are headed there?" And they were headed to Sodom and Gomorrah because the sin and the wickedness was so great that Yahweh was going to bring his discipline and his judgment upon those two cities. And so upon revealing unto Abraham what he was going to do, what is Abraham's response? What does Abraham do? Immediately, Abraham begins interceding on behalf of Sodom and Gomorrah. His answer is, "Will you destroy the righteous?" He's like, "What if there is just 50 righteous in that city? Will you spare that city for the sake of the 50 righteous that are there?" So he is trying to stand in the gap for Sodom and Gomorrah. So one of the things that we can learn from this story of Abraham is that as we begin to see the plan of God unfold, is we need to be a people who are willing to intercede, who is willing to stand in the gap, because we know that Yeshua is coming back a second time. And when he comes back, for those who do not believe in him, there is going to be judgment. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah saw judgment, they will see judgment. And so we need to be willing to stand in the gap to pray for those who do not believe. We need to be willing to stand for those who are currently a friend of the world, who are walking in the ways of the world, who are serving sin and death right now. So we need to be willing to respond in righteousness. So one of the ways we respond in righteousness is by praying for them. You know, scripture tells us that our battle is not flesh and blood. We are not going to defeat the enemy, the evil one, the one who is ruling this dark world right now with a battle fought in the flesh. We are going to have to win it, and we're going to have to be engaged in a spiritual battle. We have been given authority by Yeshua. We can pray, we can stand in the gap, and we can intercede for our cities, for our states, for our countries. We can take action, and we can battle against the evil forces, the demonic spirits, which are in the atmosphere, which are hovering and ruling over these cities and over people's lives. And we can begin to pray for these strongholds and for these spirits to be torn down and to be broken down, for hearts to be open, to be receptive, and to hear the good news of Yeshua. And that brings us into our second way, one of the other ways that we can respond in righteousness as we hear his plan and we see what he is doing, is as we're engaging in the spiritual battle, breaking up the hard and fallow ground, which that's going to be done through prayer and praise and worship, taking ground, taking battle, taking control and taking ownership of what he has given us. Now we got to go out and we have to be willing to be that voice, to be the one who's willing to share the message of Yeshua, to be as John the Baptist, the one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way, because he is coming back and we need to prepare the way for his return, preaching a message of repentance. Just as John the Baptist preached a message of repentance, we have been instructed to go into this world and to make disciples. So when we engage in his plan and we engage in what he is doing, he is going to engage with those who are active in his plan, who is active in moving his army across this earth right now as we live. He is going to get engaged with those who are engaged with him, and he is going to equip us and give us the tools and the information we need. Because when we get into the spiritual battle, here's the great and awesome, wonderful blessings that's coming with this, is we are in this battle, but yet we are serving the one who is going to win, who wins the battle, and he calls us friend. And he calls us friend, and because he calls us friend, he says, you will know what I'm doing. So we are aware and can be aware of what's going on. So we don't have to be sitting here trying to fight a spiritual battle, attacking the dark one of this world, advancing the kingdom of God, not knowing what our general is doing. He makes us aware of what he is doing. And so we think about this scripture, and one of the things that God said about Abraham is, I know Abraham. He entrusted Abraham to give him this information because he said he knew Abraham. God had been watching Abraham. He had been watching what he was doing, how he was living his life, how he was responding to what God was telling him to do. And he was watching to see that he was a person who loved him, who walked in his ways, who loved his instructions and his commandments, and was a person who would teach his household to walk in the ways of Yahweh and to walk in his commandments. Because he had been observing Abraham, he knew Abraham. Yahweh is watching us. He is watching you. He is observing to see if you have the same faith as Abraham. Are you one who hears his commands? Are you one who hears his words, that when he speaks unto you, you listen and you obey, that you have the same faith as Abraham did, that when he was promised that his seed would be as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the ground, even when he was well past, him and Sarah, well past the age of bearing children, he had the faith to believe. Do we have the faith as Abraham? Do we have the faith to believe that what he has told us to do, what he has called us to do, even though in the natural it may seem impossible, do we have the faith as Abraham to believe it and to consider it done and to have the hope and the expectation to see it come? And in that process, we follow, we are obedient unto his commands and what he is instructing us to do. That shows him our faith. It shows him our belief. So he is watching us to see, are we a person that he can trust? Are we a good steward of what he has already given us? If we're not being a good steward of what he has already given us, he is not going to entrust us with more. But to those who are being a good steward with what he has given, unto them he will give more. So as we wrap up this series on the faith of Abraham, and we think about what we can learn, he is called the father of our faith. And so he sets the example of how we are to have faith. And it is by faith that we have righteousness. So our righteousness starts with our faith. But our faith must be like unto Abraham's. And when we look and we see the faith of Abraham, we see a person who obeyed and walked in the commandments of God because of his faith. We see a person who turned and departed from his father's land to live in a new land. He walked in repentance. He became a foreigner in a strange land, serving a different God than the people who lived in that land. And we, as those who are living, who are trying and seeking to live as the same faith that Abraham had, we are going to find ourselves living as a stranger in a land, and we are serving a different God than this world is serving. And we need to be able to stand the test of our faith, just as Abraham did. And when we show that we have that faith that Abraham had, when we show him that we are a good steward of what he has given unto us with the words that he has spoken unto us, his desire is for us to be called his friend. And when we are called his friend, he is going to speak to us and he is going to tell us what he is doing. And I don't find any greater joy than knowing that the one whom I serve chooses not to call me a slave, but to call me a friend and to treat me as a close friend who does not keep secrets from his friend. But he reveals unto his friend what he is doing. He speaks to him, has that close, intimate relationship with them. He desires to have that close, intimate relationship with us. Well, hallelujah. We are so glad that you have joined us for this week's teaching. We will be back again next week with another teaching. So come back now, and shalom, y'all. Scripture quotations taken from LSB, Legacy Standard Bible, copyright 2021 by the Lockman Foundation, used by permission, all rights reserved, managed in partnership with 316 Publishing Incorporated, lsbible.org, and 316publishing.com.